Well, it's good to be back in church tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, and if you would, go ahead and open up to the book of Exodus, chapter 3 tonight. Exodus chapter 3. Amen. It's a real blessing to see a group of men get up and sing. It's a shame that in a lot of circles and a lot of places you couldn't get a bunch of men to sing about Jesus Christ. But then again, I can't blame some of them because the women have taken over, and what they get from the pulpit ain't much masculine about it. So that's a good sign that's a healthy church when you get the men to sing about Jesus Christ and you can tell that there's some heart in it. And amen. Well, let's see. Exodus chapter 3 now. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3 and a little bit of Exodus chapter 4 to get our subject this evening. And once again, I'm going to go ahead and pray tonight, even before we read the Scriptures. I just feel like I want to pray now, and that's a good song. That's what we need. We need close to Him more than anything else. So let's go ahead and pray before we read the Scriptures. Father, Lord, I appreciate, God, the songs that we were just able to sing, not just because they were musical but because, Lord, we know that we got Scripture to back these things up. And God, we're very thankful, Lord, for what we have to sing about in You. God, we look at ourselves, we look at the world, we look at things, and God, there ain't a whole lot to sing about. But tonight, God, we know that You who You are, You were holy yesterday, You'll be holy tomorrow. You were faithful yesterday, You'll be faithful tomorrow. God, we're thankful, Lord, that we've got a God such as You. Thank You, God, that we're not in darkness, God. I'm thankful tonight I'm not depending on some stone statue. I'm thankful I'm not depending tonight on wooden Indian of some sort to try to bring some happiness to my life. I'm thankful that I know the God of all, the Omega, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, God. I'm glad that I know the Creator. God, we need You tonight. These people need You. Lord, these men just sang about being near to You. And the ladies sung about how important You are. And God, help us. Tonight I pray that You look upon this place. Look upon each heart. God, meet the need. Father, I'm incapable. I just pray, Lord, You'd help me say the right things, touch on the right things, have the right comments, and use the time wisely, God. You know I want to be a good steward of that. But I pray the Holy Spirit of God would use me, and I pray that He'd have liberty within this church to move and work and minister to these people. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, 1. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that He turned aside to see, God's watching your movements. God's watching your movements. He'll watch your heart's reaction tonight toward the Word of God. He's watching your movements. And see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that He turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Well, ain't that something? I mean, God's speaking to him. Moses is scared. He's afraid. Now, for time's sake, let's jump on down to about verse 10. Come now, therefore, God here speaking, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, now this is the fella that was afraid. This was the fella that knew God was talking and he was afraid. And notice now, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now let's jump on over to chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Now let's jump down to verse 10, a little bit further down. Moses said to the Lord, O my God, or O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he says, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him, and put his words in his mouth, and I'll be with thy mouth, and he with and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And ye shall be thy spokesman unto the people, or he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even. He shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be him instead of God. Now let's stop right there. Moses here in these two places, after he turned aside and he went to see the burning bush, and God's talking to him and becomes afraid and he becomes frightened. God then tells him about the call that he has for him. Moses is instructed the will of God for Moses' life. He is told that you're going to be my deliverer. You're going to be my spokesman. I'm sending you down into Egypt. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And Moses, and he begins to argue with the Lord. He begins to put up a case that, In chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, "Who am I?" In verse 13, he says, "They shall say unto me." He starts bringing up things that he's concerned with. In verse chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "But they will not believe me." Then he says in verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, I'm not eloquent. And in verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, "Send, I pray thee, whom thou wilt," just not me. You know, in essence, you know what happened to Moses here, in essence? I mean, there's probably a number of things that we really could see. There's a number of things that we could comment on. But I believe one of the things here on Moses' heart, Moses' mind, in the midst of his past and where he's at now and what he had to say, there's a big question mark. And I believe with each statement, there's a kind of a motive or an essence behind it saying, well, what if? I mean, when God says to him, "You're the one that's going to go," he says, "Who am I?" You know what he's saying? God, what if you made a mistake? Like, God can make mistakes. He's standing looking up at God and saying, what if I'm the wrong guy? Who am I? And then he says in verse 13, he says, "What if they say something I don't know? I mean, they shall say unto me." They say something unto me. He says, so in essence, he's saying, "Well, what if they say something I don't know? I'm not eloquent. What if I can't talk?" Well, you're doing a pretty good job arguing with God. Why don't you go argue with Pharaoh for a while? Well, "Send, I pray thee, whom thou wilt send." What if you just, he's telling God, what if you just go pick someone else? There's a big what if here. There's an if. There's some doubt in this thing. There's the what ifs. The what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? These were all excuses that Moses was coming up with to avoid what God desired of him. And in reality, you and I know, standing as a third party, looking at the Bible, knowing what we know about God, that they weren't good questions. He didn't have good questions for God. I mean, that's what we think, right? I mean, we're looking at it from outside in, say, what? You're talking to God. You're talking about somebody can make a bush burn and it not burn. God was appearing in a miraculous way to Moses. Did Moses really believe that God did not know what he was doing? Or was Moses afraid of the what ifs? The what ifs. The what ifs. You know, he had failed one time before. Moses, one time before, he back there in Egypt, he tried to help out his brethren. You remember the story? He killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee and run for his life. You know, when you do things under your own power and in your own time and your own way, there is a lot of what ifs to be concerned with. But when it comes to God, when God comes a calling, when God comes a leading, when God comes shows you and directs with you to do something in His will, it's not what if. There's nothing wrong with humility. There's nothing wrong with getting down and asking God for wisdom and guidance and you talking to God about some problems you may have and some concerns you may have, but shouldn't be used to try to bow out and avoid what God is trying to do. When I was a young child, I had a big imagination. I had imagination, boy. I grew up in the country and didn't have a lot of friends to play with, so I had a lot of imaginary friends to play with. I spent my days, I didn't grow up in the neighborhood, grew out in the country, and so I spent time in the woods growing up, and I had imagination. It's got its good points and it's got its bad points. And part of my imagination was when I was, 5, 6, 7 years old along in there, I didn't care for bedtime. I believe there was a boogeyman in the closet. I believe that there was At nighttime, it was just something about it I didn't like to hear my mother or my dad probably say, alright son, time to go to bed. I didn't like that. Now, I was at that time, maybe this plays into it. We weren't going to church. My parents weren't saved at that time. There was no prayer, no Bible. But my imagination told me. Of course, then I didn't think it was my imagination. I thought there was a boogeyman in the closet. And if he wasn't in the closet, the Joker made it under my bed. And I was scared. I did not like going to the bedroom. I don't know if you've ever had those thoughts. Don't know if you ever have, but I'm telling you, I had some real thoughts. My parents would say it's bedtime, time to go, and immediately I just, oh boy, I'm telling you what, I'd begin to shake. I mean, I could think of all kind of things, you know. All of a sudden I'd remember, oh, Mom, I haven't hugged and loved on you today. You know, I'd go and crawl up in her lap, you know. And then, oh, let's have some cuddle time, you know. Mom, you know. And she knew I was up to. All right, my dad said, hey, it's more time to get up, get back to bed, you know, go to the restroom, get to bed, you know. And I'd start down that hall and be, turn around. Hey, Dad, I forgot to ask you something. And I'd try to come up with some off-the-wall thing for him to tell me about something. Or, Dad, I forget to tell you, something needs fixed. I'd try to come up with some excuse. Or I'd go in the bathroom a little while and hopefully they would get a bit occupied with what they're doing and then make my way back out there. Anything to avoid going to that room. I was scared of the boogeyman. And, you know, my parents told me many times, there ain't no boogeyman. They just couldn't see what I could see. I mean, honestly, my dad would open up the closet and say, there ain't nothing in there. I'd say, Dad, there is something in there. You know, he just couldn't see. He was invisible to him. You know, he'd look under the bed. There ain't nothing under the bed. I don't know how he could see it. I might junk under there, but I would be convinced he just couldn't see what I could see. He couldn't hear what I hear. I could hear the... And when they shut that door, I always, like as quickly as I could, flip the light on. The light was on, okay. All right. I'll be okay. You know, God calls us to walk a life of faith. That's what we're supposed to walk. We're to walk by faith. We're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know what? We can easily at times, if you're not careful, when God deals in your heart, He deals with you in different ways and different times of your maturity as a Christian, and He comes to you and asks you to do something, maybe in a particular circumstance or a particular time in your life, maybe a particular call, a new adventure He wants you to do, a new responsibility to take on, whatever it is, but something according to God's will, according to the Bible, just like that boogeyman, there's the what if. It's real. You ain't seen it happen yet, but that old flesh says, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. If you do that, you're going to be in trouble. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are to trust God and walk according to His demands and guidance. And as a child of God, we have to have childlike faith many times. And we have to listen to our Father. We have to listen to His instruction. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, furthermore, when we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so we would abound more and more. We'd abound more and more. You know what my dad wanted to do? You know what he was doing? He wanted me to go to bed. You know what? That would please my dad. If it's time to go to bed, his son obey, go to bed. You know what my problem was? The boogeyman. My problem was, I tell you, I love my dad. I love my mom. I didn't want to be disrespectful. But I didn't want to be known by no boogeyman. So that caused hesitation. That caused me to try to figure out different things. You know, how can I handle this? What can I do? Because I was sure that one night my parents, sooner or later, they were going to walk in that room and see nothing but bones. I was convinced of that. Just sooner or later. But they never had that concern. They never worried about it. They never went in there and tried to whoosh out the boogeyman or nothing like that. They didn't even believe in him. It was nothing. God's will in your life as you grow and mature, as He guides you along the way, your faith is going to be tried. And there's going to be times when your flesh is going to say, what if? What if? Can't you see things the way they really are? And you will doubt God. Fear in what might be. You know what doubt does? It produces a boogeyman in the closet. You know what? There was nothing for me to be scared of. There ain't no such thing as a boogeyman. No such thing as at all. There's no such thing as that. And you know what? When God directs and calls, the boogeymans are the what-ifs that you come up with. They're nothing to be really concerned with. You know, some young people, they start serving the Lord and God works, and all of a sudden they get to that age and that time. Maybe they don't believe in the boogeyman no more, but they just start saying, well, if I be a Bible believer, if I do God, I just won't have any friends. What if I do that? No one. I'll never have a friend in the world. If they see me pass out a tract, if they see me carry a Bible, they see me do that, I'll never have a friend. What if I never have a friend? Man, if I do that, what if I never get married? What if I never, and just start filling in the blanks. What if I never become successful? What if I never become accepted? What if I never have enough money? Who's going to take care of me? All the while, those things are going on in whatever capacity, whatever way, it's all the while an attempt to avoid what God wants to do in your life. What God wants you to do to please Him. You know, going to bed did please my parents. But you know what? They know I needed sleep. That wasn't something that meant to tell me to go to bed. It wasn't them trying to just punish me. They weren't saying, he gets to go in the boogie room now. He gets off the floor. My parents were now there saying, oh, boy, there's people there to see what's he doing. No. Matter of fact, they pitied me many times. They would open the closet door. They'd look at it. Ain't no boogeyman. They were trying to be helpful. That's what God tries to do. You think God is just trying to do something just so He can sit back and just laugh? To see you mauled and tore up? Fears are created by what might be. How will I? How will I do that? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a pretty good principle throughout the Bible. I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I mean, you ought to always seek God first. His righteousness. Well, if you're saved, you've got His righteousness. But you also, as a Christian, do what He tells you to do, because He's going to tell you what to do is right. That's righteous. He wants you to act righteous. He wants you to do what is right. Though many times your flesh and the world may say it's wrong, but if it's right because God said it, then it's right. All these things shall be added unto you. Things that God wants you to have, you'll get it in the will of God. God's not going to deprive you of something that He thinks you ought to have. The common sense versus trust in God. I know at times you may think, well, God gave me a brain to think with. Well, yeah, I believe that. I think you ought to use your brain. I mean, I'm not telling you to just say, whatever happens, happens. I'll just sit here like a knot on the log and God take care of me. I'm going to live by faith and do nothing. No, it's not an excuse to do nothing. You ought to use your brain. But your brain is not what controls you. The Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God is what controls you. You just got to make sure your brain waves are in line with what God says and the will of God for your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. So that's what I thought as a little 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid. I thought I was smarter than my daddy. Just because he couldn't see the booger man, I could. He was too old. He had glasses. Those glasses messed him up somehow. Some way when he looked in that closet, that boogeyman just kind of, you know, went incognito of somehow, you know, just kind of camouflaged himself. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You ever hear people say, just follow your heart? You know? Boy, that's a stupid thing. That's a stupid thing. You know? Oh, just whatever your heart tells you. Boy, that thing's deceitful. Listen, I'm here to tell you something. There's many devices in there. Many. But the counsel that God gives you, boy, that shall stand. That shall stand. You know, some people's plans are nothing but a process of doubts. I mean, oh yeah, I trust God, but wait a minute here, let me figure out everything. Let me go down through the list and eliminate all the what-ifs. A process of just the doubts. Listen, the boogeyman in the closet, the what if, the what if. Listen, you need to trust God. Trust God. Put your courage in what God has for you. Put your trust in His wisdom and in His might. Second thing about that boogeyman is confidence in what I control. See, I knew as long as I was outside that room, the boogeyman couldn't get me. He wasn't going to come in the living room. I'm okay. He was just going to go in there. I was telling my parents and telling myself as a little child there, let me pick the circumstances. Yeah, I know it's late, and if I don't get sleep, I'll just be a wild brat tomorrow. And fall asleep and won't, you know, be able to do my schoolwork and everything. But let me handle this. Let me control the circumstances. If I can control the circumstances, that boogeyman ain't going to get me. Parents will say, hey, you're tired. You need to get some sleep. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. You know, I'm not tired. You know, I'd sit there and just, you know, I get crazier. Matter of fact, that's what I do. You ever see a kid when he's trying to fight sleep? Yeah, it's almost like a Christian trying to fight the will of God. He gets crazy. It's out of control. He's lethargic. Or I just say, well, what? You know, maybe a lot of the times I just want to go and get on the couch. I thought if I fall asleep on the couch, okay, I'd be all right. Of course, you know, I didn't consider if I fall on the couch, Dad is going to pick me up and put me in bed. Then the boogeyman would be able to eat someone who could not even resist. But my idea, if I fell asleep there, I was hoping to stay there and everything is okay. Listen. Don't give in to the fears. Work on removing them. Where they show up, put them in prayer. Talk to the Lord about those things. Tell Him about those things. Not in a rebellious manner, but in a manner that He knows your concerns. And that He, as a good father, He'll help you. Sometimes, when He helps, He's not going to give you write it all out. He's just going to say, but His comfort's there. It's better to do that than to not do what He says and go hysterical. Try to avoid what He's calling you to do. Take your Bible. We may be back here in Exodus in a moment, but come over to Psalms 102. Psalms 102. The what ifs. The old flesh there can make you think that, that's just way too much to ask. And I don't know what your what if is tonight. I might be talking to someone who God is wanting to teach Sunday school. I might be talking to someone tonight who needs to just open their mouth up to give the gospel out. I might be talking to someone in here that just needs to separate from some things to have a better testimony. I may be talking to someone who may be thinking about the mission field. I may be talking to some. I don't know what the what if right now is in your life. But I know they come up. And I'll be honest with you, they don't stop. Whether you're a 10-year-old child in the Lord are a 50-year-old child in the Lord, those what-ifs will still come up. Psalms 102 here. Look with me, if you would, at verse 7. I watch, and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Here the psalmist, we won't take time to read it all, but he's in some danger here. His enemies are trying to get to him and some trouble. And he says, I watch, I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Now you think about that. There's a number of things about that. But one thing about a sparrow on top of a housetop, he's easy prey. He's easy prey. Back home, we have a lot of hawks. And you know what? A sparrow on a housetop alone is easy prey. And you know what? Sometimes the will of God makes you feel like, if I do that, boy, I am so... Look at all these what-ifs. What about that sparrow? Well, if you're a sparrow alone on the housetop, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, God watches sparrows. God's a bird watcher. God knows the sparrow. See that little sparrow alone? He's not really alone. There's not a sparrow anywhere that falls to the ground that He don't know about. God, that Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, the Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Luke's Gospel says, not one of them is forgotten before God. The what ifs? God knows. God knows. God knows about the what ifs. Don't feel like you are just... been put alone by yourself and you are now the only one who's ever been through this. You're the only one that has ever had to face something like this. You know, there have been many kids before me that had to deal with the boogeyman and they never got ate by the boogeyman. But you know what? Confidence in what I control. Let me take care of the circumstances. Let me. That's what Moses was trying to do. Moses was saying, God, listen, I know what you're saying, but let me give you some advice, God. I can't speak. I'm not good at this. And started come up with all the reasons. I know what's in best. I know what's best. You know what that child saying to his dad and mom about the boogeyman? You just don't understand what's in it for me. You don't understand what you're doing. That's what Moses was doing to God. You just don't know. God can be trusted. Those are easy words to say, ain't it? God can be trusted. It's easy to sing about Him. But that old flesh, what if? What if? What if? God is wiser than you and I can ever think. The fear that you or I would have is no problem for God. He says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's pretty good, ain't it? I mean, boy, we like to hear that when Darwinianism, the evolutionist comes by and says, oh yeah, we're smart, we believe we came from nothing, blah, blah, blah. And you say, well, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, the weakness of God is stronger than man. Yeah, you're wrong, you atheist. But what about when it comes to the will of God for your individual life? When God's got a decision He's making for you, when He's calling you somewhere and telling you something, His wisdom is still wiser than anything you have. And even if you think it's foolish what He's causing you to do, it's wiser. His foolishness is wiser than your wisdom. You know that boogeyman? Boy, he was so mean. He was mean. That boogeyman that I had in my mind and my imagination was just the meanest, ugliest thing you could ever think of. I could imagine, I lay in my bed there, those pulled up over my eyes there, and I'm thinking, boy, I can just see the teeth. I can just see him. And I just, boy, he'd come out. I bet he was 10 feet tall and had one gulp he was going to roof me in. If he was that big and that bad, why didn't I ever consider the fact, why did he just come out of the closet, walk in the living room, and eat us all up? What made the difference me being in the living room with the light on with my mom and dad? What made the difference there? I felt assurance there. I felt safe there. I don't know what was about my mom that would make the boogeyman not want to come in the living room and gobble us up. Is it like the boy that said to his friend and be mean to him, says, your mom is so ugly the boogeyman wouldn't lie under her bed? Listen, you know, the fact is we can't control nothing. We think, well, I'll just let me handle it, Lord. You can't control anything. And the lesson in the Scriptures over and over is this. Hey, listen, when we try to do something in our own means, it never is good. The will of God is always the safest place to be. Always the safest place to be. Great instructions and trust for the child of God is found in the Scriptures. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You scared about what God may be asking of you? You scared a little bit about what God may be leading you in the direction He's taking you? Why don't you just tell Him? He cares for you. He cares for you. He may check the closet. He may look under the bed. But it's just got to be your faith to believe Him. It's got to be you that's going to have to say, listen, God, okay, God, you know, I'm willing to try. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do this. God never asked Moses to go alone. God never was expecting Moses to go down there in his own power and get those children of Israel out. God knew he was going to have to do it. Because he made the problem even harder. You know what God did? He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He told Moses, hey, listen, you know what? On top of all this, I'm going to make it a challenge. I'm going to harden his heart. But he didn't send Moses on his own. He said, listen, there's a reason I'm hardening his heart. There's a reason for this challenge. You know what? God tells you why your faith is tried. God tells you why the things are the way they are. Sometimes you don't see the whole picture, but He gives you Scripture, enough Scripture to know, and He's given you enough examples in the Bible for you to understand that, you know, though we don't understand, we do understand that He knows what He's doing. And there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And then there's that thing about the boogeyman staying in what is comfortable. Like I said, as long as I was in the living room, or even if I could just be in the room and they allow me to leave the light on. Hey, that's comfortable. That kind of keeps me out of the reach of the boogeyman. He didn't like that light. I don't know why he didn't like the light, but he didn't. You know what was so strange, though? I'll tell you what's strange. That closet where that boogeyman lived, and under the bed where I thought the boogeyman lived, those were places I often resided to. I'd get up in the day and I'd get in that closet, you know, and I grew up in the 60s and we're all talking about walking on the moon and all. So I was always playing astronaut. I had a little rocking chair and I'd take that rocking chair and I'd put it in that closet and I'd stand it up on end like that and I'd get everything thrown out of that closet. I'd get in there and I'd sit down in that seat, you know, and I'd play 10, 9, 8, 7. The boogeyman was never in there. He never was in there when I was playing astronaut. Never was. No. Matter of fact, on the bed, I kept my plastic soldiers and I kept other things on there. I'd go in there and pull things out. And Mom say, clean the room. I never was worried about the boogeyman throwing them back out. But at night, you know, things that we are comfortable with, it ain't hard to do, is it? It ain't hard to do. It's very comfortable to come in a room like this, sing about God, ain't it? Isn't it comfortable in here to say amen to the truth? Ain't it comfortable in here to pray? It's comfortable in here. What out there? It's dark out there. But you work out there. You even play out there. You live out there. But when it comes to the things of God, sometimes it's so dark. So dark. You know, that scared child believes as long as the light's on, it's okay. Even if my dad was there. You know, Grandma, ever so often, my dad's mom, ever so often, she didn't live too far away, she'd come and stay with us. And when she came, she slept with me. And the boogeyman didn't like her either. I had no problem going to bed when Grandma was there. Me and her going there, you know, and she'd tell me stories. And I never once worried about the book. I never once said, Grandma, we don't turn the light off tonight. Never. I don't remember one time doing that. Haven't had no problem. Slept like a baby. I was in a comfortable situation. The kids check their closet for the boogeyman. The boogeyman checks his closet for Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris checks his closet for Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee checks his closet for nobody. You know, when God's involved, we don't need to check the closet. We really don't. Feeling secure, confident, not worrying about the what ifs. But when you try to stay in your comfort zone, you know what? It really means disobedience. Starts going back to Samson. What I want. What I desire. And it shows really where your faith lies. No man hath two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What is it you're trying to get your security and trust from? Take your Bible to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And this will be our last scripture for this evening. This is where we'll end this evening. And as far as looking in the Bible, John chapter 20. And I want you to look at verse 19. John chapter 20 and verse 19. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw Jesus, when they saw the Lord. You know what is very important for you as a child of God? Keep looking unto Jesus. There's two key words in those verses we read. One of them was then. Then, the same day at evening. Then. And the other important one is when. In the next verse it says, and when he had said. You know, it's very, very important for you to stay close to the Lord in fellowship. That closeness and companionship, that walk with the Lord, has a way of soothing the fears, has a way of bringing comfort within the fear. See, when the Lord showed up, that did not remove the Jews. That did not remove some of the what-ifs that they were having, but it sure dispelled a lot of other fears. And it's important in your fellowship and your walk with God that you stay close, you keep your eyes on the Lord, that you not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That Spirit that's been placed in us, which is His Spirit. It's kind of like having the light on in the bedroom at dark time. It's going to be okay. You know what I found out one day? And I can't tell you when it happened. I didn't write it down. There was no parties. But one day, I wasn't worried about the boogeyman no more. I don't know if it's when I got married or, you know, but I stopped worrying about what was in the closet. I don't know when it happened. I just really didn't even think about it till later. Well, I just started going to bed. Somewhere along the way, the boogeyman no longer was any more concerned. You know, as you walk the walk of faith, you'll learn that some of those boogeymans, nothing concerned about. Nothing to worry about. You can really trust the Lord. You can have confidence in Him. If you're walking the way God wants you to go, you always have someone with you bigger than the boogeyman. Father, I pray You'd bless Your people tonight here. Lord, I don't know why and what and